This is number 0031, the Stuff File program with Peter Anthony Holder, and it comes to you right now.
The following program is brought to you in living color.
Now, it's time for an eclectic mix of interviews and some of the oddest news stories you'll ever hear. It's the Stuff File program with Peter Anthony Holder.
Hey there, hi there, ho there. Peter Anthony Holder here with you, and this is indeed another edition of the Stuff File program, number 0031. And coming up on this edition of the program, we'll meet Kelly Baxt, who runs the morbidly amusing website Stiffs.com. This kind of humor can occasionally attract some criticism.
We get people every now and then who are, thinking that it's, morbid and, frankly, a little bit disgusting. And when I describe the site to people and I tell them what I do, I tend to get that look on their face like a look when you smell something bad. It's just kind of a look of disgust, but after a while, they think about it and they realize that it's not all that bad. People are dying and, it's just sort of a natural thing.
Donick S. Cause is the author of You Can Be Famous. Why did he write the book?
The reason I wrote the book is I've been a journalist for a number of years, and I'm based in Silicon Valley. Through the years, I got pitched by a lot of people who didn't know what they were doing, and then I gradually got into PR myself, and I realized there's so many business owners that just didn't know how to go about getting publicity. So I thought, well, here's a way to help them out. I'll write a nuts and bolts book, not theory, nothing academic. It's written very plainly, very simply, just for the basic person that wants to know how to work with the media.
We'll hear from Steve Walsh, our man in the heart of America, checking the pulse of the nation. And, of course, we have an idiot of the day and lots and lots and lots of stuff. The guest Slater, the person who told you this show was number 0031, is Howard Stretch Carr. He's the host of West Indian Rhythms on CKUT Radio here in Montreal. The show is on Saturdays from 4 to 7 p.m., and you can also check out their website at ckut.ca. That's ckut.ca. And thank you very much, Howard, for doing the guest slate on this edition of the Stuff File number 0031. Let's get right to the stuff, shall we? And we start off with a story from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Police said a man broke into a Pittsburgh home and climbed into bed with its owner, apparently because he was drunk and cold following a rap concert. Homeowner Frank Fontana says he was in bed when the man climbed in at about 5:30 in the morning. Fontana says he asked whether it was a woman who has keys to his home, and he grabbed a baseball bat when a deep male voice answered, "No, it's not." Police said Fontana kept the man at bay until police arrived, but didn't hit him with the bat. Police also say the intruder told him that he was looking for shelter after a concert by rapper Jay-Z at the Mellon Arena. The 33-year-old man faces a preliminary hearing on charges of criminal mischief and criminal trespass. Oh joy, oh bliss. Meanwhile, we go to St. Lucie, Florida for our next story. Florida authorities said an 80-year-old man was arrested for attacking his neighbor's door with a garden hoe because he thought they stole his cookies. The St. Lucie County Sheriff's Office said the St. Lucie resident called 911 and reported they were awakened by a loud banging at the door that turned out to be neighbor Gene Edward Chambers hitting the door with a garden hoe. Chambers told a deputy who arrived at the scene that he first knocked on the door, then fetched the garden hoe when there was no answer. He accused his neighbors of sneaking into his house during the night and stealing boxes of Little Debbie oatmeal cookies. A deputy who searched Chambers' home for signs of theft found 5 boxes of the snacks and a Walmart receipt from the previous day, confirming he had purchased 5 boxes. Chambers was mistaken, thinking he had bought 7 boxes. Deputies wrote that in the report, by the way. Chambers was arrested on a misdemeanor charge of criminal mischief. The neighbor's door, which deputies valued at $200, was damaged beyond repair. All this for cookies. I've never tasted Little Debbie's oatmeal cookies, but they must be pretty good cookies if you're willing to break down someone's door for 2 boxes. Wow. Okay, latest religious messages in the Crime Stopper division. In Frisco, Texas, in January, boutique owner Marion Chadwick, who was about to be robbed at gunpoint by a hooded intruder, pointed her finger at him and said, "In the name of Jesus, you get out of my store. I bind you by the power of the Holy Spirit." The man appeared stunned, then turned and walked out empty-handed, cursing. Ah, the power of the Lord. Meanwhile, a 20-year veteran, Houston cop, whose badge number is actually 666, told the Houston Chronicle in a profile that once, 17 years ago, a dangerous perp who had been defiant that he would not be captured suddenly dropped to his knees and surrendered. He had glanced at the badge and he said, "I ain't fighting no devil." So, there you go. The power of the devil, too, here on the Stuff File. Well, here we are in March, and in the United States, one of the big things is March Madness, NCAA, for those of you who are basketball fans. Interesting thing about March Madness, turns out there is a giant spike in the number of men getting vasectomies as the Sweet 16 battle it out for the national championship. In fact, across the United States, the number of scheduled vasectomies tends to jump by about half during the week the men's NCAA basketball tournament begins. It's a phenomenon that urologists like Dr. Stephen Jones at the Cleveland Clinic have been noticing for several years now. He says every time that we got to March Madness, it's at least 50% more men than we had on the other weeks. Doctors have also noticed a similar jump in surgeries just before the Super Bowl, too. Because, I don't know, apparently there's nothing like stretching out on the couch for some hot basketball action with a big bag of frozen peas on your crotch. I don't get it. But anyway, it's big time for vasectomies right about now. So, snip, snip, guys. Now, anybody who's listened to this radio show and the previous radio show I did know that I'm a lover of the luncheon meat spam, and I make no apologies for it. I believe spam is the luncheon meat of the gods. Other people see it differently, but I'm not in their camp. But I do have a spam story here for you. The day before British Army chef Liam Francis, age 26, arrived at his forward operating base in Afghanistan, the Taliban shot down the helicopter ferrying in food rations, and Francis realized he had to make do with supplies on hand. In his pantry were only seasonings, plus hundreds of tins of spam. So, what did he make? Well, for 6 weeks until resupplies came in, Francis prepared sweet and sour spam, spam fritters, spam carbonara, spam stroganoff, and stir-fried spam. He told the Daily Telegraph that he was proud of his work, but admitted that, quote, morale improved, unquote, when fresh food arrived. I don't know why. Spam is so tasty. I love it. Plus, that sound it makes when you squeeze it out of the can. Oh, yeah. Anyway, moving right along. A lot of times when people are arrested or captured or whatever the case may be, they make excuses for whatever they were doing. Same thing when they're charged and they're in court or they're before a judge. Well, this has got to be the lamest defense ever. And that goes to a 47-year-old by the name of Glenn Armstrong in Brisbane, Australia. So congratulations to you, Glenn, for coming up with what might just be the lamest defense of all time. Glenn was recently arrested and accused of taking pictures of young boys using public restrooms. So what was his big defense and reasoning behind his actions? Glenn told police that it is perfectly logical for what he did. A perfectly logical reason. He said he was having an ongoing debate with his wife and was gathering proof that, in fact, most boys are not circumcised. That's his excuse. Oh, please, just lock him up right now. Moving right along, let's check some leading economic indicators. Details about Britain's biggest marijuana importing operation emerged in March following the conviction of its three managers in Southwark Crown Court. The enterprise earned the equivalent of as much as $300 million at such a rapid clip that the partners apparently were unable to use much of it despite buying real estate, jewelry, and expensive cars. An inspector at Scotland Yard found moldy cash rotting away hidden under floorboards. He said it was of no good or of no use to anybody. Let that be a lesson to you, boys and girls. Don't put money under the floorboards. It's paper. It rots. It goes bad. That's all I'm saying. And finally, before we get to our first guest on the Stuff File here with me, Peter Anthony Holder, we have one more story, and this is a Darwin File story, because as you often know, the tree of life is often self-pruning. There are people who will find ways of removing themselves from the planet because of their own, well, stupidity in a lot of cases. New York City police believe that drug gang hitman Hector Quinones, age 44, shot three men to death in a high-rise apartment in December, but allowed the woman in the apartment to escape when he tripped on his own baggy pants while chasing her. I tell you, it's people, you gotta pull your pants up. Anyway, as police arrived, Quinones climbed out onto the fire escape but accidentally fell off and broke his neck. He is no longer with us. Bye-bye, Hector. Okay, let's get to our first guest, and it actually has something to do with death. The Grim Reaper really has it out for former child stars. Since 80s icon Corey Haim died unexpectedly on March 10th, and Growing Pains actor Andrew Boner Koenig was found dead in Vancouver last month, it seems like death is calling for former child stars. This gives us an opportunity to talk to the guy who runs the website Stiffs.com. We've talked about this website on the program before. The guy who runs the site, his name is Kelly Baxt, and he joins us from somewhere on the left coast. Hi, Kelly. How are you?
I'm doing good, sir. How are you?
I'm fine. Thanks for being on the program with us. I said you're on the left coast. I believe you're in Vegas?
I am in Vegas, actually, at the moment.
Oh, you got a website that plays the odds, and now you're in a city that plays the odds. What are the odds of that?
I know. I just came here for the weekend. I'm normally out of Los Angeles, but every now and then you got to get out here to play the odds outside the death world.
Okay. Now, as I mentioned in the introduction, we've talked about your site in the past, and I know in a lot of newsrooms across North America, people in the newsrooms where there's lots of gallows humors tend to look at your website, which is stiffs.com. But I'm sure you have people who, for the lack of a better term, are not amused.
Well, no. I mean, we get people every now and then who are, you know, thinking that it's, you know, morbid and, you know, frankly, a little bit disgusting. And when I describe the site to people and I tell them what I do, I tend to get that look on their face like, it's kind of the look when you smell something bad. You know, it's just kind of a look of disgust. But after a while, they think about it and they realize it's not all that bad. People are dying and, you know, it's just sort of a natural thing.
Now, how did the website start?
Well, it started years ago when we were at a New Year's party, and a couple of us were standing around, and we said, you know what, how about for this year, we'll have a bet on who's going to die. And we put together lists, and there were three of us that put together lists, and we put them in an envelope with $5, and we said, all right, whoever wins next year, you know, we'll be together on New Year's, and whoever wins gets all the money. And we opened them up at the end of the year. And it was the year that Lee Atwater died. And we all had Lee Atwater and no other stiffs on our list. So we just took our $5 back, and that was the end of it. And that was the beginning of the Lee Atwater Invitational Deadpool.
Okay. So from that, the website was created?
Yeah. For a few years, we did it on paper. And then we said, well, let's get this going on the web. And it just sort of developed into the multi-game experience that it is now, with over 1,100 players playing and, you know, just all kinds of fun to be had.
Now, I don't know, does it surprise you, shock you, or disgust you as to how this little thing has taken off? Because a lot of people are familiar with your site.
Yeah, they are. I mean, I wouldn't say it amazes me. I mean, people are, you know, you always hear people talk about the, oh, my God, who's the next one to die? They always die in threes. And people are fascinated with the death of celebrities. And for us, that's what it's all about. It's about sort of making fun of people and their celebrities. Celebrity is, it's sort of ridiculous when you stop to think about it. The people that become celebrities for, you know, whatever reason. And we just wanted to make fun of that, and it just has sort of developed into that over the years.
Okay, there are other sites out there that have Deadpools, but the one thing that sets yours above all others, I think, and certainly those who I know who've seen it think, is that beside the death of somebody, there's usually a rather quaint, if not somewhat snarky remark that goes along with us, that goes along with it, rather, that makes people laugh out loud. Who writes those?
Well, you know, there's a few of us that write them, and we even get, you know, people writing in saying, hey, this would be a funny obituary. We call them obituaries that we write for them, and every now and then we get one that makes us laugh out loud, and that's the one we pick.
What, in your estimation, has been one of the funniest ones that you can remember, one that still makes you chuckle when you think about it?
Oh boy, there's so many. I got to go with Roy Scheider. Roy Scheider's obituary was just very simple. It was so long, old chum.
Okay.
Yeah, that one gets me every time. You know, there's just so many. I mean, there's so much to make fun of about celebrities that we'll get five or ten even really good obituaries, and sometimes it's tough to pick because, you know, it's kind of ridiculous, even the concept of celebrities. So, you know, we've got a lot of options to choose from there.
Now, what is your day job?
Oh, I do all kinds of computer work for a day job. I run software companies and host other websites and do things like that. So this is sort of a natural for me, and I've been doing that for a long time. So when, you know, when we put Stiffs out on the web, it was just sort of a natural progression for us.
I started off in the intro talking about the recent spate of child actors who have passed away. Is this something that when you have a death pool that you're seeing a pattern in?
Well, yeah, you know, I mean, when you think about it, I mean, child stars are really a good target. If you're putting a list together, child stars are sort of easy pickings in that, you know, if you're a child star and you start out, I mean, your whole life has been about celebrity. So the idea that, you know, you've been on a hit TV show for years, going to, you know, work at Sizzler is just not really an option. So, you know, they try so many other things, and then it ends up in drugs and all kinds of other things. So, you know, that's where they end up. And I mean, it's almost without exception. You know, when you think about it, there's so many child. If you could pick me out a child star right now who really hasn't gone down that road, then you know, I mean, that's impressive at this point.
Oh well, there are quite a few of them. I mean, if you go back to Ron Howard, there's quite a few.
Ron Howard's a good, a kind of good example. But when you think about all of the others, I mean, right now the ones that are alive, I mean, your Lindsay Lohan's. I mean, God, I mean, talk about your quality pick right there. I mean, Lindsay Lohan. You've got Gary Coleman. I mean, there's just a whole ton of them that you know, you could expect to take the big dirt nap at any time.
Now, do you play in those, or does Stuff, Stiffs.com, I keep saying Stuff because the show you're listening to is the Stuff File program, Stiffs.com, do you have the pools which have the point system based on the age of the person?
Well, you know, we've toyed with that idea, but the truth of the matter is it's really just a matter of picking stiffs. It's about picking people who might die. And getting the points is a little bit more difficult. What we've found is the people who win, you know, at Stiffs.com pick kind of a combination of people who are, you know, elderly and a combination, you know, of people who maybe are your dark horse picks, right? Like your Corey Haim, like even your Peter Graves, who, you know, who maybe was a little bit older, but not necessarily, you know, had one foot in the grave there, as it were. So, you know, we don't feel like we really need to necessarily, you know, tie it to age or, you know, some of the other things that these other pools do. It's worked really well for us for all the years, and we just don't see the need to change it.
What are some of the other items that you have on the website? I mean, I already mentioned the obituaries and the way you write them. What are the sections that one can find if they go to stiffs.com?
Well, we've got a blog where we write, you know, stories of interest, you know, death-related stories. And, you know, we write stories about, you know, kind of the rule of three was a recent one that we had in the blog where a lot of people would think that celebrities only die in threes. But the truth is they're dying all the time. We get on average about 85 or 90 celebrity deaths a year. Everybody thinks that last year was just a huge year for death, what with Michael Jackson and all of these other celebrities that died. But the truth is it was just a very average year. They're dying all the time, and you know, it's you know, there's a lot to write about. There's a lot to talk about. You know, we've got a whole lot of topics that we blog about. We've also got other games other than our big 1 year game. We have a 6 month game. We have one called the Three Bagger, which is where you put in your list of 10, and the first person to get three quote in the bag wins, and then we'd start over right away. So it's kind of different games for different interests in the deathly arts, as it were.
Morbid indeed. What do your family and close friends, what does your mother think about this?
My mother thinks it's great. My mother thinks it's kind of the neatest thing. And in fact, I hear a lot of times about recent deaths from my mother. I'll get a phone call and say, "Hey, did you know that so and so died?" And she just thinks it's kind of the most interesting thing. It's nothing really disgusting about it. It's just that everybody fears death, and it's a very natural thing. All we're doing is making fun of the celebrity more than anything else.
People can check out the website, which is stiffs.com, on the front page right now. The aforementioned Peter Graves, Merlin Olsen, Corey Haim, Al Haig, Catherine Grayson. They are the latest on the list. And who knows, between the time that we talk and people go to the website, how many more there will be. Again, people can check out the website, stiffs.com. I thank you very much, Kelly, for taking the time to be on the program with us.
Absolutely, sir, anytime.
Kelly Bax, the guy who runs the website stiffs.com. You can go to my website at thestufffile.com. Stuff is spelled S-T-U-P-H. That's thestufffile.com. Go to the What's On page for this show, which is show number 0031, and you'll find links to Kelly's site. And when you go there, check out the Yobits. They are an absolute hoot. You're listening to The Stuff File with me, Peter Anthony Holder.
What are they saying about If the Rains Don't Cleanse? New York Times bestselling author David Mixner says, as a writer and advocate for Africa, I could not put down Ben Patrick Johnson's If the Rains Don't Cleanse. Aubrey Hooks, the U.S. ambassador to Ivory Coast, says, fascinating and hard to put down. If the Rains Don't Cleanse is CNN breaking news disguised as historical fiction. If people can't put it down, then why haven't you picked it up? If the Rains Don't Cleanse, the tale of missionaries in 1950s Belgian Congo is loosely based on my own parents' lives. It's available online, including Amazon.com and Amazon.ca. I, Ben Patrick Johnson, want you to read this book. My mother, Abidale Johnson, wants you to read this book. Now remember, this is a woman who survived as a missionary in Congo half a century ago. She is tough. Now do not make me send her your way. If the Rains Don't Cleanse, get it now, or deal with my mother. Coming to you from Canada, the land of universal healthcare, colorful money, and the correct spelling of the word theater. This is The Stuff File with Peter Anthony Holder.
And still to come on the program, we'll meet the author of You Can Be Famous. Also, there's Steve Walsh, our man in the heart of America, checking the pulse of the nation. And, of course, we have an idiot of the day. And lots and lots and lots of stuff. Reminds me, there's more stuff right here, right now. And you know, they say you should set your goals and just go for it. And for the most part, that's good advice, but not always. There probably won't be anyone trying to do what 42-year-old Donna Simpson is attempting to do anytime soon. The New Jersey mother currently weighs in at 602 pounds, but Donna's decided that's unacceptable. She's decided to set a goal to change her weight and now wants to reach 1,000 pounds over the next 2 years so she can officially become the largest woman on the planet. At 1,000 pounds, she would be a planet. But anyway, she plans to accomplish this by consuming 12,000 calories a day. Yes, 12,000 calories a day. Donna says, "I'd love to be 1,000 pounds. It might be hard, though. Running after my daughter keeps my weight down." Gee, at 602 pounds right now, your daughter can't be running too fast. Anyway, where was I? Oh, yes. "I love eating, and people love watching me eat. It makes people happy, and I'm not harming anyone." Really? She's delusional, isn't she? As for her health, she claims she's in perfect condition despite the fact that she has to travel around on a mobile scooter because her knees are too busy crying for their future to hold her up. Pardon me while I go dial 911. This woman is in serious need of some help. Maybe we should check into the latest Jesus sightings, shall we? This one is in Mississippi. As the good Lord continues to reveal himself in the strangest ways and places, Timothy Sincent of Flora, Mississippi, claims he sees the likeness of Jesus in a pecan tree in his backyard. But this wasn't just pure chance. Oh no, this was after a woodpecker pecked the likeness into the tree and then flew away. Friends and neighbors had been trying to convince Tim to build a shrine for people to visit the image and pray, but Vince says he's happy to just let the image watch over his house and his neighbors for now. For now, till he finds a way of capitalizing on this, I'm sure, but I digress. Okay, the Swiss are basically known for two things, right? Outstanding chocolate and pretty darn good timepieces. But their latest venture into the world of wristwatches might raise a stink. The Swiss watch company Artea won't be using the trade's standard gold, diamond, or titanium in their latest creation. Oh, no, 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 no. They're going for something a little more Mother Earthy. Specifically, dinosaur dung. Artea says the watch set in fossilized dino feces will sell for $12,000 and comes with a strap made with skin from an American cane toad. Designer Ivan Arpa said the dinosaur poop came from a plant eater that died about 100 million years ago in what is now the United States. Some guy sitting around thinking, oh wow, dinosaur dung, what can we do with it? Oh, I know, dude, let's make a watch. Wow, that's a little too out there even for me. Okay, moving right along here on the Stuff File with me, Peter Anthony Holder. 29-year-old Charles Godey probably won't be winning any Father of the Year awards anytime soon. Chuck was at Universal Studios in Orlando with his wife and baby when he became separated from his wife. So rather than ask park security for help, he decided he would just leave the 4-month-old infant alone in the bushes while he went out to search for the mom. For 2 hours. A Universal Studios employee found the crying child in her stroller in the bushes. Charles has been arrested and charged with child neglect without great bodily harm. The infant was examined and appeared to be healthy, but was taken to a nearby hospital for an evaluation. The child is now in the custody of the Department of Child and Families Services. So there you go. And I've often said this on the program. Anybody can be a parent. You need a license to get a dog. I don't know. Okay, in Enga, New Guinea, police were shocked and embarrassed after Enga's resident judge, Justice Graham Ellis, walked into the local jail and got down on his hands and knees to clean up filthy and unsanitary prison cells. The judge said he was tired of waiting for government authorities to do something about the inhumane conditions on the cells. So he walked in wearing rubber boots and gloves, and armed with buckets and a water hose, he just went to the police station and cleaned the 5 cells himself. Humiliated police officers offered to assist, but the judge and his staff declined their offer. Police Chief Inspector Martin Licari said he was embarrassed that a very respected and honored person in the country got down on his hands and knees to clean the condemned police cell. The Waybag police cell blocks were condemned in 2006 by a health inspector as filthy and unfit for human occupation. A major renovation was recommended, but nothing ever happened. Okay, this next story deals with a guy who has some really bad luck. That according to a spokesperson for police in Nuremberg, Germany. Two police officers in town happened to walk by their own unmarked patrol car, which was parked in the parking lot of a disco, when they noticed that a nightclub reveler had lined up drugs to snort from the roof of their car. The 26-year-old man was detained by officers. That's just bad luck, bad timing, bad all the way around. Okay, up next, let's talk a little bit about government waste, at least in the United States. I'm not saying that we don't have government waste in Canada, but this is an American story, so we go with what we've got. You'd think in the current economy, the U.S. government would be a little more mindful about wasteful spending of tax dollars. Well, think again. Ever heard of Forest City, Maine? I didn't think so. They boast a population of 5. Yes, 5. That's all that's there. Well, needless to say, Forest City is not exactly a hub of activity. Nevertheless, they do border us up here in Canada and actually have a port of entry to the U.S., which is used predominantly by the locals. But now the U.S. government wants to upgrade the facility to the tune of $8 million. The U.S. Customs and Border Protection is proposing to demolish and replace the current land port of entry with a new, larger, and more expensive facility, including a 4-lane road to cross from the United States into Canada. Granted, it is only a proposal at this point, but the locals of Forest City, all five of them, are outraged, especially Jane Johnson, who has been a resident for 30 years. If the proposed new port of entry facility were to happen, it means the Army Corps of Engineers would need to take over her 3-acre property. In other words, they'd have to displace 20% of the population of Forest City. One person. 20%. There you go. And today's vocabulary word. This is the final story in this section of the Stuff File program with me, Peter Anthony Holder, before we get to our next guest. Today's vocabulary word. We go to Pinellas, Florida, and the Pinellas, Florida School Board. The chairwoman, Janet Clark, is being criticized by other board members for referring to troublemaking students as hoodlums. We've all heard the word hoodlums, have we not? In a workshop about chronically disruptive students, Clark said, "So much time is taken up with addressing hoodlums, with kids who don't want to be in school," adding, "We are talking about a small number of children." Fellow board member Mary Brown said that such students might be disruptive. They might be in gangs. They might be many things, but they are not hoodlums. The dictionary, by the way, defines the word hoodlum as a gangster, a thug, a tough, often aggressive or violent youth. Clark refuses to apologize. I tend to side with Ms. Clark, although perhaps she should apologize by saying, "I'm sorry other board members are incapable of using a dictionary." These people are educators, but they have a problem with the word hoodlum, because maybe it's just not politically correct. Anyway, let's get to our next guest. Joining us on the program right now is Donick S. Cause, who is the author of You Can Be Famous, Insider Secrets to Getting Free Publicity. And we should mention the fact that he contacted me, so he knows how this works. He's joining us from California through Skype-to-Skype communication. Hi, Don. How are you?
Good. Very good. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being on the program with us. Now, you wrote this book. Who did you see your primary readership as being?
Primarily solopreneurs, small business owners, authors with self-help books, things of that nature. The reason I wrote the book is I've been a journalist for a number of years, and I'm based in Silicon Valley. And through the years, I got pitched by a lot of people who didn't know what they were doing, and then I gradually got into PR myself, and I realized there's so many business owners that just didn't know how to go about getting publicity. So I thought, well, here's a way to help them out. I write a nuts and bolts book, not theory, nothing academic. It's written very plainly, very simply, just for the basic person that wants to know how to work with the media.
Now, as you say, you've worked as a journalist and a publicist, so you've literally worked both sides of that fence.
Yes, I have, and neither one of them will have me back.
So what's the biggest mistake or faux pas? And I'm getting you to put on your journalist hat now. The biggest mistake or faux pas somebody makes when contacting you for publicity?
I think the biggest thing is not really knowing how journalists work. We live and die by the deadline, and so a lot of people don't know how to respect a journalist's time, and they don't know what journalists are looking for. Journalists are always looking for a story, and a lot of people look at what's in it for me. You know, I've got this business. I've been here 10 years. I'm a nice person, and I've never had publicity, so you need to do a story on me. And it doesn't work that way. It works on what's in it for the journalist. So that's always the way to think. What's in it for the journalist? What's the story? What's the news angle or the news hook? Another big pet peeve is people simply not knowing their product. I think I mentioned I was a Silicon Valley business journalist, and during the dot-com boom, which few of us survived, I think, they were hiring everybody in these companies because they were just flush with money. And they're hiring people that totally, just out of high school, had no clue how to do PR. And they'd call up and they wouldn't pitch in a way that would interest anybody. They didn't know how to follow up. They didn't really even know their own products. They're pitching these high-tech products, and they didn't know the products. And so they ended up wasting my time or my editor's time or what have you. And that was quite common, actually.
Now, you mentioned the deadline factor of this. Do you find that things have changed in any way, shape, or form when we talk about new media, online, the Twitter world? Does that change things nowadays when newspapers and television stations and radio stations are all clamoring to get online and be 24/7, as it were?
Well, you know, the mainstream media will still live and die by the deadline. And I think the online news sites probably still have to live by that. But then again, there's so many bloggers and other people that are aggregating news that I think their time frames are a little different. And of course, you always want to be first out with something because you don't want to be last. You want to scoop somebody, get the news out. So there is flexibility. I think that maybe more flexibility in timing and also in volume, because you know, when you had a newspaper, you had so much space and people were competing for it. With news sites, there can be limitless space. It's all up to, you know, how much people want to write. I hope that makes sense.
We're talking with Donick S. Cause, the author of You Can Be Famous, Insider Secrets to Getting Free Publicity. Now, one of the points that you just brought up a few moments ago, talking about getting to a journalist and pitching a story, I think for the most part, a lot of the people in the general population get the feeling that, you know, reporters go out there each and every day hunting for stories and checking things out, and they don't necessarily have businesses or companies coming to them.
Actually, it's exactly the opposite. They get inundated with people pitching them stories. When I was an editor, I'd have a stack of things on my desk to go through. And one of my biggest complaints, now that I get to complain again, was the fact that the press releases were written so poorly that people just simply didn't know how to get to the point and write a press release. A press release has to be written in a very specific manner. You have a headline to attract attention. You have the lead, which is explains the headline a little bit more. And then you have the body of the press release, which explains what the lead and the headline are about and just elaborates on it. And it's basically a sales pitch. Again, you're thinking, what's in it for the journalist?
Now, I've been in the situation myself where I get a lot of press releases in my daily life working in media. And one of the things I'm sure you used to get annoyed with, I know I do, is the person who thinly or a thin veil of truth in their press release to tie themselves to any type of news story that is currently going on.
Yeah, that happens a lot. And to be honest, I actually do encourage people to do that. But at the same time, you need to have an actual news hook. So my first book I co-wrote called Power Persuasion, Using Hypnotic Influence to Win in Life, Love, and Business. It's a book about how to use actually hypnotic language in everyday conversation and to plant suggestions in people's minds and things of that nature. That's how I got on this show, for example. but to go back to tie in, that book came out the same year as the last Star Wars movie. And because this book was about mental influence, we tied it into Jedi mind control in one of our press releases and got some interesting feedback from that.
So, again, your core audience is basically whom? The small business person, the PR person within a larger company?
The small business person, the author, member of an organization that needs some publicity. So basically, yeah, small business, authors, artists, musicians, things of that nature.
Now, I understand you have some secrets that you share. For instance, what's the 10-second rule?
Basically, you've got about 10 seconds to get a journalist's attention. That's where we go back to the headline in the press release. If you don't get their attention in 10 seconds, they're going off to the next thing. They may be listening to you on the phone, but they're reading press releases or something else. So they're just, you haven't got their attention. That's it. You got 10 seconds.
Now, the granddaddy of them all, especially in the United States, at least for a little while until she retires, is Oprah. So how does someone get on Oprah?
You send me a large check, and I'll take care of that for you. but barring that, the best thing to do, there are two really great ways to get on Oprah. She has a website where she lists upcoming shows and upcoming topics. So you can go to that website and look at the various topics, and if you think one or more of them may apply, you just fill out that form and shoot it in. The other way is to pitch a topic for her. She doesn't normally do individuals unless they're already celebrities. But if you can think of like a really great topic and suggest three or four experts on that topic or some people that can tell anecdotes about that story, like, you know, say if you pick a topic, you know, my teenage daughter has too many piercings. Not that that would ever happen. No teenager does that. But so you can say, you know, we can talk about this. I can suggest a psychologist about this as the reason why people get piercings, and I can suggest a person that does the piercings to talk about it. We can bring in a teenage girl that actually has a whole lot of metal on her body. And so you suggest a whole package to her. And of course, you position yourself as one of the experts on one aspect of that topic.
Someone who reads your book, the book You Can Be Famous, Insider Secrets to Getting Free Publicity, is one of the things they would learn to do the idea that it's almost like a job interview. You have to learn the company you're going after for a job. Same thing with if you're going after a particular place in the media, know what they're looking for, know the types of things they do, know the way they normally flow, and gear yourself toward that?
Very much so, yeah, because a lot of people make the mistake of buying these large media lists. So 100,000 journalists will send it to you. You can have this list for, $200. And you buy this list, and say if you're a holistic health practitioner, well, on that list is going to be some holistic health practitioners, but there's also going to be sports writers and tech writers and business writers. So you really need to target what you're doing. So, yes, you should, where you can, find out a little bit more about the people that you want to approach, find out what their interests are. Since we've got the internet now, you can look up a particular journalist, find out what kinds of stories they've covered already, and see where their hot buttons are, where their interests lie.
Now, besides using this book to become famous, I mean, you yourself are a busy guy. You're also, we mentioned journalist and publicist. We left one other job out, screenwriter.
Yeah, so thank you for bringing that up. Yeah, I actually wrote most of a movie called The Ante, which got a great review in Variety. It's been accepted into 6 film festivals, and it's actually showing in France in April. And for some reason, the writer didn't get tickets to go to France to watch it, but I guess I'll have to live with that. But thank you for bringing that up. It's a thriller. It's kind of a quirky thriller, like a Coen Brothers movie. And because of that movie, I was able to get a manager in Hollywood who's now shopping some of my other screenplays. So, Peter, thanks for mentioning that.
Absolutely. And in the meantime, people can find the book. The book is called You Can Be Famous, Insider Secrets to Getting Free Publicity. I understand you have a website, which is getfreepublicitynow.com. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And the book is available on Amazon.com and Amazon.ca?
Amazon.com.ca, also Amazon Australia. And the nice thing about Amazon is it lets you read the first chapter of the book for free. So you can read the table of contents and read the first chapter and see if it's something that would be right for you.
Excellent. Again, the book is called You Can Be Famous, Insider Secrets to Getting Free Publicity. It's written by Donick S. Kaas. And Don, I thank you very, very much for taking the time to be on the program with us.
Thank you, Peter. I'm delighted to be a guest, so thank you.
Donick S. Kaas, author of You Can Be Famous, Insider Secrets to Getting Free Publicity. You can go to my website at thestufffile.com to the What's On page, and that's the page for this show, which is 0031. And you'll find links to Don's website, also links to Amazon.com and Amazon.ca, where you can order the book directly.
You're listening to the Stuff File program with Peter Anthony Holder. Drop Peter a line. He'd love to hear from you. You can email him at peter@thestufffile.com or catch up with him on Twitter or Facebook. There's more Stuff File coming your way in just a few moments.
If you're into the paranormal, then you're into Don Ecker and Dark Matters.
Something I have been immersed in for 20 years, lunar research on items known as lunar transient phenomena. For over 400 years, world-class astronomers have been observing strange sights, lights, flashes, and other things on the moon.
Provocative topics, listeners' calls, and interesting guests.
Guest Mr. Alan Stern.
On my website, I have a list of 100 or so lunar conspiracy theories. I had to kind of come to terms with one of them that I hadn't really thought about.
It's the kind of show that might keep you up at night.
Speculation is, at some time in our past, or perhaps even today, there is another presence on the moon. And I'm not talking about indigenous lunar folks. I'm talking about a space base by somebody else on the far side of.
Dark Matters with Don Ecker, exclusively on CyberStationUSA.com.
From our studios in Montreal, Canada, and going out to the rest of the world, this is the Stuff File program with Peter Anthony Holder. Now, Peter Anthony Holder once again brings you Steve Walsh, our man in the heart of America, checking the pulse of the nation. Lock up your daughters, and in West Virginia, your sheep. Joining Peter Anthony Holder is our intrepid embedded reporter, deep in the heartland of the U.S. of A., Stephen S. Walsh.
How you doing, Steve Areno?
Oh, boy, I'm beat. I am beat, Peter.
Really? Well, why is that?
I've been on the road. On the road.
Yeah.
Last what, 5, 6, 7 days?
Yeah,
it's unbelievable.
I want to talk to you about that. I understand that you were actually mere minutes from where I am here in Canada.
Yes, I was. I was in Montreal.
I couldn't get a hold of you. And why is that?
I turned my phone off. I put it on airplane mode.
Oh, okay.
You know why?
Why?
Roaming charges. Now, I'm serious. Now, people will say, okay, what's the big deal? Well, first of all, it's AT&T. I'm not giving them a plug because they charge 79 cents a minute. And if you want to buy a Canada plan, meaning you can make calls when you're in Canada, I live in the States, of course, when I'm in Canada. If you buy the plan, you get a bonus. It's only 77 cents a minute.
Wow.
Yeah. And the problem is, it's not just making phone calls. It's as my phone is everything. It has email. It has the internet. Every time something comes in on my email, it charges me for a minute. So
nice.
I turn the phone off completely. Otherwise, I would go to Canada for 4 days and come back with a bill for $1,500.
I got you.
So I said, no, better not. Better
so
not.
Ironically, I speak to you several times a week.
You did get in touch, though, eventually.
Yeah. Ironically, I speak to you several times a week, but while you were right here, not a word. Anyway, sir.
Peter, it was planned.
Anyway, sir. Now that you're back in the United States, a country that now has...
I should mention, I didn't try to avoid you on purpose. I did have some business to attend.
I understand.
Just pointing it out. That's all.
You came up here for the free health care, but now you have some there, so it's okay.
We have our own plan here, so screw you guys.
Anyway, sir, what do you have for us?
Oh, let's see. Dateline, Columbia, Kentucky.
That'll be the bluegrass state.
One of my neighboring states, I might add.
Yes.
You know, the folks in Adair County had just completed construction of their new $12.4 million county judicial center. After more than a year of construction, the facility was finally open for business. But on its first day, Sheriff's Deputy Charles Wright managed to accidentally lock himself in a jail cell. It turns out Deputy Wright, well, he's got a bad case of claustrophobia, and in his panic, he decided to try to shoot his way out of the cell. Nobody was hurt, but Wright won't be working there any longer, and he was fired. People are getting fired for something they did on the job. Anyway, the former deputy also agreed to pay for the damage he did to the cell.
That's good.
Pretty nice, isn't it?
Pretty nice.
Yeah, I like that. Let's move on. Dateline, Sheboygan Falls, Wisconsin.
That'd be the Badger State.
Or as we like to call it.
The Cheese State.
Where the motto is.
If it's cheddar.
It's better. A 42-year-old man is facing 3 years in jail and a $10,000 fine if he's convicted with what police called his fifth drunk driving charge. But he gets points for creativity in trying to fool the cops. After crashing his car into a snowdrift, he walked back to the bar where he'd been drinking. Then he called police to report his car had been stolen. Now, the problem was he left a pretty dandy trail of footprints in the snow all the way from the crash site back to the bar. Footprints, by the way, that matched his boots exactly. When confronted with the overwhelming evidence, he finally broke down and admitted that he had been driving the vehicle and lost control of it before crashing into the snowbank.
Moron. Wow.
That's very smart. Boy, people like that who are just so stupid, enough. Dateline, Hales Corners, Wisconsin.
Still the Badger State.
Still we like to call it what?
Cheese State.
Where the motto is what?
If it's cheddar.
Cheddar?
Yep.
So you're having a big open house to try to sell your home. And that home's been on the market, by the way, for 9 months. You just can't get rid of this thing. Let's hope 58-year-old Robert Remaker of Hales Corners doesn't drop by. He probably won't, of course, since he's now in jail. Anyway, Remaker was arrested after he attended several open houses, and he allegedly stole women's underwear from the homes. Realtors said they saw Remaker opening drawers and taking items. Apparently, the underwear were in the drawers. double entendre there. When he was stopped by police, they found plastic bags containing 8 pairs of panties and printouts of internet listings for area open houses. He planned this guy. Give him credit. He later told the cops that he was taking the items because he missed his ex-wife, and he admitted he had about 50 more pairs at the home he lived in with his parents.
Yeah. Did he missed his ex-wife? Did he have any of her panties?
not that it says here.
Oh, dear. Okay.
Just other people's wives' panties.
Wow.
Dateline, Moscow, Ohio.
Oh, no, Ohio. I can hardly wait to say goodbye, oh.
Oh, there's that song. It's the Buckeye State.
Yeah, I used to live there, you know.
I remember.
Call it the year of my life I'll never get back.
Yep.
Friday of last week was the day of my life I'll never get back, but I digress. Kerry Hoskins finally figured out a way to keep River Hills Bank from foreclosing on his $350,000 home. Hoskins says he's struggled with the bank over his home for years and years and years, and also had problems with the Internal Revenue Service after the IRS placed liens on his carpet store and his commercial property, and the bank claimed his house as collateral. He still owes $160,000 on the house, but after spending a small fortune on attorneys, he finally had enough. He said, I've had enough. There's nothing to foreclose on now. You know what he did? Hoskins went out and got himself a bulldozer and leveled the house. And clearly did so before Robert Remricker could get at his wife's panties. I think that was just smart planning on his part.
Just smart planning, yeah.
Right.
You know what he should do? I think he's the kind of guy who maybe either needs an anger management course, or maybe he should have the opportunity to do a 2-minute tirade. You know, let off some of that steam.
I'll have one of those coming up.
Okay.
But not right now.
Okay.
Coming up in a second or two. Okay.
Yep.
All right. Dateline, Miami Township, Ohio.
Oh no, Ohio. I can hardly wait to say goodbye, oh.
Still the Buckeye State.
Still where I spent a year of my life. I'll never get back.
Yep.
Yeah. Anyway, so when you babysit your grandkids, what's your favorite thing to do? Take them to the park? Take them out for ice cream? Fake a hostage situation? Well, in Miami Township, police received reports about an older man driving a green minivan near the Dayton Mall and that somebody was being held hostage. Turns out it wasn't a hostage situation. No. The driver basically had told his granddaughter that it would be just flat out hilarious if she held a BB gun to his head as they drove down the road. Well, everyone just had a big old laugh, of course, except the police, of course. All the witnesses and the girl's parents, they didn't like it as well. Nobody was injured, but Grandpa now faces a charge of inducing panic. Imagine that, getting someone to point a gun at your head.
You know, in a more innocent time, that probably was amusing.
I'd have. That's something you and I might have done.
Yeah, back in the day.
Yeah, I know, but not anymore, because now people get upset over that. You know, even today, Peter, I might get upset.
Yes, of course.
And you know what I do when I get upset?
Yes, yep.
I take keyboard in hand, and I write a 2-minute tirade, as promised. And I do have one for you right now, if I may.
Tirade away.
Okay. I'm on a rail, this time, against the political correctness involved in weight loss. Who thought weight loss could be a problem? Well, apparently it is a problem. I know what I've gone off on PC in the past. You know that, I know that. But this time, I'm talking about a gender-specific kind of PC. Weight loss. You know, when a guy drops 40 or 50 pounds, people see him in the hallways or in an elevator, and they say something like, hey, you've lost weight. You look great. And it's a nice compliment to receive. But you better not say that to a woman. I have had women say to me, hey, Steve, I've lost 10 pounds. Didn't you notice? Well, if she's morbidly obese and only lost 10 pounds, of course I didn't notice. But seriously, I did notice, but I was afraid to say something for fear of having the woman think I believe she might benefit from the membership at the Y. It's something like that commercial you might have seen on TV. A guy runs into a woman in the grocery store and says, what do you do? And she responds rather disdainfully, I'm not pregnant. Exactly. I don't want to be in a situation like that, Peter. Bottom line, if a woman comes up to me and says she's dropped 10 or 20 pounds, I'll say something like, you look wonderful. But of course, you always did. It's safe, and it won't get me into trouble. And when it comes to women and weight, that's the kind of trouble I can do without.
Truer words were never spoken, sir. Truer words.
Isn't it true? It's hard to argue with that, huh?
Yes. Anyway, sir.
Yes.
Say those three magic words.
Hit the theme!
This is The Stuff File.
And we're just about done with this edition of The Stuff File program with me, Peter Anthony Holder. We have time for one more item, and that would be the Idiot of the Day.
And now it's time for The Strange Things Adults Do. The Stuff File presents The Idiot of the Day.
And this one comes to us from Massachusetts, Falmouth, Massachusetts to be exact. Falmouth, Massachusetts police hired John Yarrington as a confidential informant on February 16th, setting him up with $100 bills in marked money to make a cocaine buy from dealer Corey Noonan, which Yarrington completed. Now, he left the scene, but less than 10 minutes later, before Noonan could be arrested, Yarrington returned and, according to police, attempted to buy more cocaine on his own. Why would someone who already knows the cops are watching because he's an informant set to trap this guy, why would he go back and buy more cocaine for himself before this guy's arrested? One reason, and one reason only, he's an idiot.
Gee, I'm only a kid, but even I know you're an idiot.
And that's it for this edition of the Stuff File program with me, Peter Anthony Holder, number 0031. Hope you've enjoyed it. Tell all your friends. Spread the word around. By the way, the website is thestufffile.com, and stuff is spelled S-T-U-P-H. That's thestufffile.com, where you'll find information and links on all of our guests by going to the What's On page. Just look for the corresponding date and program number. Again, that's 0031. Email me at peter@thestufffile.com. You could also find me on Facebook at facebook.com/PA Holder and Twitter at twitter.com/PA Holder. We hope to see you back here for our next show on the air, online, and also available as a download. We're coming to you from everywhere, including CyberStationUSA.com and World FM 88.5 FM in New Zealand. Bye-bye.
Been getting jiggy with Peter Anthony Holder and the Stuff File program, a presentation of Flying Fish Communications. He's a bad mamma jamma, and after he spends some chill time in his crib, he'll be back to get down with his bad self. Word up.